8:37, Des is here. Morning, Des.
Good morning to you, Audie. Well, it's all about the Rugby World Cup quarterfinal. Tomorrow, of course, Ireland play New Zealand. We've never reached a World Cup semi-final. The match kicks off 11:15, live coverage here on Radio 1 and RTE Television. Eddie O'Sullivan will be part of our coverage, and we're joining him now, hoping for some hope, Eddie. Before we talk about the game itself, can I just ask you, what's your view on the Haka? Does that give New Zealand a psychological advantage ahead of, just immediately ahead of a game?
I think it does give them a lift, you know, and in the modern times, they've really latched onto it. They do kind of set their stall out in that, and I suppose most teams now know how to deal with it. Nobody's really intimidated by it anymore, but it certainly gets them in the right frame of mind. So we'll probably be full metal jacket on tomorrow morning.
Yeah, well, in Ireland, I sense, and maybe I'm wrong, there's a bit of a downbeat attitude in Ireland ahead of the game. How good is this New Zealand team in your view?
Well, I don't think they're as good as the team that won the World Cup 4 years ago. And I think they're not as settled side as they would have been 4 years ago. Plus the fact, I think we're more settled than they are. The selection George Schmidt has made is very much probably his best selection. People could argue about the fact he was available, he might have got selected. But I think the team he's going out tomorrow is as good as he's got. New Zealand aren't quite settled. Borden Barra has been moved around quite a bit, in fact. I'm actually happy he's starting at full-back tomorrow because I think he's a much bigger influence on the game at 10. But they've struggled at 15 since they've lost Damon McKenzie. So he's been moving Borden Barra back to 15 and experimenting with that. They also, their wings are very inexperienced, George Bridge and Sivo Rees. They've only a handful of caps between them. So there are areas there where we could take advantage. We'll have to up our, I think the little bit of downbeat is that we're not firing all cylinders during the pool matches. You know, we're not at a level up at this moment that we were in 2018 when we beat them. But I think you can park all the pool matches now. We just need to focus on this knockout rugby and, you know, put out a huge performance. And we'll have to change the way we play a little bit. We'll have to get the ball wider into the wider channels. But I think if we click, and that's what we're all hoping, we're right up there with a great chance.
Well, like, you've been there, it's not easy to suddenly up the game, is it, if you've had three or four group games that haven't gone particularly well?
No, it is. It's a challenge, but we're still in the quarterfinals now. I think mentally the players can park the fact that, you know, not all the pool games went to plan. And certainly, despite starting very well against Scotland, losing to Japan definitely, you know, knocked the wind out of our sails a bit. But I think, you know, there's enough experience in the team, and you look through the lineup now with Sexton, Murray, you know, you've got obviously the back row is very experienced as well, Peter Romani. You know, I think we've a core of players with huge experience, so you'd be hoping that on a one-off occasion like this we'll get it right, because if we win on Saturday then the sky's the limit, because it'll have taken down the best team in the tournament historically. So I think for that reason, you know, there's so much to play for, the guys are going to lift it.
When you talk about the need to get the ball wide tomorrow, does playing like that increase the risk of errors?
Well, it does and it doesn't. It does if you're nervous about it, but it doesn't in the sense that it's the right place to go, and the more often you can go there, the more dividends you have. If you look at the way we played in recent times, this year in particular, compared to how we played in 2018, we moved the ball a lot wider, a lot quicker against New Zealand in 2018, and it caused them all sorts of problems. So, you know, that's the recipe again. They haven't changed their defensive system that much, if at all. And I think they have that inexperience out wide that they haven't before. So I'd be inclined to go for tomorrow. We have to throw something at them that's going to make life uncomfortable for them. And I think that's our best bet, and we have the players to do it.
South Africa did that, though, didn't they, in the first kind of half an hour against New Zealand? And New Zealand weathered it, and suddenly they broke and got two tries before you could blink your eyes.
Well, that is a problem with New Zealand. You can play very well, you know, for 70 minutes, and the 10 minutes you don't play well, that's enough to beat you. And that's what happened to South Africa. South Africa played quite well for most of that game, except that middle patch in the first half where they kind of made a couple of errors and New Zealand capitalised. That is what New Zealand are like. So the last time we played them in Lanzarote and beat them, we didn't give them that 10 minutes they needed even. We gave them no minutes. In fact, they only scored two penalties and a drop goal. They were held scoreless. So, you know, that's a huge advantage. If we can go out the same mindset tomorrow, if we can keep them scoreless tomorrow in terms of crossing the whitewash, we can win the game. Now, it's a big ask, but we've done it before, and that's why the defence is probably a good starting point for us. If we're very good in defence tomorrow, very aggressive, keep our balance, and it's not something we haven't done before. We're actually a very good defensive team. So it's a matter of opening another level again tomorrow, and we've done it before against them. So plus the fact that we've beaten them twice since the last World Cup was certainly in the back of their mind. So if we stay in the game tomorrow, as the clock ticks down, they're going to get more and more nervous. There's no doubt about that, because there's huge pressure on them as well. You know, it's unconscionable for them to go to the World Cup quarter final. So the longer this game goes on tomorrow, the more pressure they're going to come under.
Okay, you're making us look forward to it eagerly, Eddie. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. As I say, live coverage tomorrow. The game kicks off 11:15. Ahead of Sunday's quarterfinals, by the way, Wales have Jonathan Davies back at centre and Dan Biggar as fly half for their quarterfinal against France. They've recovered from injury. So Wales coach Warren Gatland names the same side that beat Australia in Pool D. Now, there's live soccer action tonight. Bohemians will be hoping to clinch a European place for next season. They go to St Pat's, and that game at Inchicore is live on RTE2. There are three other games in the Premier Division. Cork City hosting the champions Dundalk. Shamrock Rovers go to UCD, and Finn Harps play Waterford. There's a game of huge significance in the First Division, where Cabinteely host Drogheda United in the first leg of their promotion playoff. The game at Stradbroke kicks off at 7:45. Mark Allen has qualified for the last 16 of Snooker's English Open. He beat Louis Heathcote 4-1. He now will play Barry Hawkins, who had a 4-2 victory over Fergal O'Brien. In golf, Gavin Moynan is well placed, as round two of the French Open is underway in Paris. He's on 3 under par, Moynan, just 3 behind the leaders, George Coetzee and Ryan Fox. Paul Dunne, who's battling to retain his tour card, is well off the pace. He'll be starting today on 6 over par. The Irish women's hockey team lost 1-0 to Korea in Abbottstown last night. The Irish men's cricketers take on Hong Kong today in the T20 World Cup qualifiers. And the racing action this evening is in Dundalk, where the action begins at 5:15.